Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever precious and the altogether lovely name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Humbly but earnestly, we pray that you know him. And if you know him not, that before it will be eternally too late, you will find him. This is your Bible teacher of the air speaking, J.W. Bramhall. We come once again, continuing our meditation upon the book of Exodus, and the study concerning the character of this present world in the light of the book of Exodus, particularly the first 12 chapters. I wonder, my radio friend, have you ever considered what the Word of God would teach you, as well as me, in relation to the character of the world within which we are living every day, under the dominion of a world that is ruled over by Satan and his hosts? Let me not minimize, but rather emphasize, the fact that the Word of God teaches that Satan is the prince of this world and the god of this age, and that he, together with his hosts of evil, consist of being the rulers of the darkness of this world. I believe there's no greater illustration than that which is found in the book of Exodus and the early chapters, describing the world in its character, which can teach us many practical, profitable lessons. We have already noted, as we have covered chapter 1 and part of chapter 2, that there are certain types in the book of Exodus for us to remember. First, we have noted that Egypt, the great empire and the realm of that world day, is one of the best illustrations of the world in which you and I are even now living. We have also noted that Pharaoh, who often was considered a god in his day and proclaimed himself as such, many of them did, how fitting a type he is, or was, of the one who is the prince of this world and the god of this age, even Satan. We have also commented upon the fact, as we view in these early chapters of the book of Exodus, that the children of Israel were in bondage under the tyranny, the oppression, and the power of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, likewise, upon a worldwide scale, we realize that there are sinners in this whole world who are in the bondage of sin and under the tyranny and power and the authority of Satan. A fourth type that we have mentioned, we repeat again, for we are coming to the crux of this type that is before us in the person of Moses. We have been introduced in chapter 2 to the entrance of Moses upon the scene as a baby boy, and he will be to us, in our present story of study, a type of Christ, the deliverer from this present evil world. Just as Moses has been proclaimed by every pious Jew, still he is revered as the great emancipator of human history, who led under God a nation of 2 to 3 million people out of the bondage and the tyranny of Egypt and the power of Pharaoh. So Christ is a greater deliverer, and we quote the words of Galatians chapter 1 verses 3 and 4 in the context that declare, "Our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world." My radio friend, it is the desire of God, and it was the purpose of Christ in coming to the world, to be your deliverer and to be mine, to rescue us from the power of sin, the judgment and the penalty and the eternal consequences of sin, and also to rescue us from the dominion, the tyranny, the authority of sin and Satan. Has he done that for you? He gave himself, and that was upon the cross of Calvary, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world. In the opening of chapter 2 of the book of Exodus, beginning at verse 1, and reading down as we have already done through verse 14 and 15, we have noted the introduction of Moses, a wonderful type, as we've suggested, of Christ. We noted that to his parents, who thus, in every possible way, sought to spare their child, and then trusted him to the hand of providence, a providential God, that he might be spared, they perceived in him what the Word of God declares to be a beautiful or a proper child. And as we have in Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, that Stephen declared, they recognized that he was fair to God. We have no hesitancy in believing that the faith of the parents of Moses, Amram, Jochebed by name, desired, and perhaps by faith believed, this baby boy of theirs would be the deliverer of God's people. Providentially, he was spared from destruction, which was commanded by Pharaoh and all the Egyptians to cast the baby boys into the river. And thus they would perish in the mighty power of the crocodiles that were therein. But providentially, he was raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And we thank God that though he was for 40 years raised in Egyptian wisdom and knowledge, the spiritual training of a godly mother who brought him up at her knee until she delivered him over later in years to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, her spiritual training was victorious over the mighty wisdom of the Egyptians of that day. I would not minimize, but I would even enlarge upon the fact, the wisdom of the Egyptians has not yet in this present age been accounted for by the intellectual realm. There are many things, such as the building of the pyramids and the Sphinx, and many other things in Egyptology of centuries past, that men of the present age have never yet been able to comprehend the source, the ability of their knowledge and skill. But oh, the joy! Here was a boy who spiritually was trained at his mother's knee. And what did she teach him? Without question of doubt, the things of God and of Jehovah, the God of Israel. And then we noted, as Moses typified Christ, that he proved by his action he had the hand of a deliverer, and he had the heart of a deliverer. For his heart went out to his brethren in their burdens and under their bondage. And unfortunately, he did not seek to wait for God's time to deliver them. But he interfered in the energy of the flesh, going ahead of the Lord, as we may well know. In this second chapter, we will begin reading briefly at verse 16, where at the end of verse 15, we learn that Moses went down to the land of Midian, for he feared that Pharaoh would slay him when the knowledge that he had slain an Egyptian had become known. Now the priest of Midian, his seven daughters, they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I've been a stranger in a strange land. May I point out to my listening friends the life of Moses in its entirety, in a very brief but a very clear way. Many of you who have read and studied the Word of God may well remember that the life of Moses was an expense of 120 years. When you divide that life of Moses into the sections that are recorded in the Word of God concerning it, you will admit that it is in three sections of 40 years each. It has been properly stated, the first 40 years of the life of Moses were spent trying to be somebody, as in the intellectualism and the wisdom and the skill and the learning of the Egyptians, he was schooled. That was the first part of the life of Moses. The second section of his life was also 40 years. And there in the desert of Midian, as a shepherd, caring for the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro, or sometimes called Reuel, spending 40 years in the backside of the desert learning a harder lesson, how to be a nobody. And then, as we shall later see in chapter 3, he was called of God to spend the last 40 years of his life finding what God was able to do with a nobody who was willing to be somebody for him. In our reading of today, very briefly let me mention, even in relation to the daughters of Jethro, his father-in-law, as he helped them water their flock and drove away the shepherds who were hindering them from doing so, once again, he revealed that he possessed the character of a man who had the heart of a deliverer and had the hand of a deliverer, as he thus drove away the shepherds who hindered the girls. God knows the character of a man and recognizes the character of a man who can be his chosen instrument. So was Moses. We again reemphasize, he typifies one who is a greater shepherd, one who had a greater power to deliver, and who had a greater heart to deliver poor lost guilty sinners. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us out of this present evil world. Father, we pray that our Lord Jesus will be presented by the Holy Spirit to the hearts of all in his own worthy name. Amen.